Tonight, I want to speak to you about encouraging one another. This is so vital, and I think so very, very important that we understand what the Scripture is trying to teach to us. Let me ask you this question. Are you an encourager? Everybody think about yourself just a moment, no one else. Are you an encourager? When people are around you, can they say of you, "Where seldom is heard a discouraging word"? Can they say that about you? Are you an encourager? It takes courage to encourage. The Apostle Paul in the Word of God was an encourager. That word encourage means to impart courage to someone. What oxygen is to the body, encouragement is, I believe, to the soul. What would be your nickname? Well, would it be based on your attitude and your actions? What would be your nickname? Would it be encourager, helper, teacher, servant, kindness, or would you be called grumpy, lazy, stingy, the old gossiper, tardy, critical? You know, people literally gravitate toward encouragement. Someone said, they wrote this, "Flatter me and I may not believe you. Criticize me and I may not like you. Ignore me and I may not forgive you. Encourage me, and I will not forget you." Amen. Mary Kay Ash. Anybody know who Mary Kay Ash is? Yeah. The Mary Kay cosmetic person herself. Mary Kay Cosmetics, right? I thought this was kind of neat. I thought you ladies might like this. She said this, "Pretend that every single person you meet has a sign around his or her neck that says, 'Make me feel important.'" That's kind of neat. Not only will you succeed in sales, you'll succeed in life. You've got to learn how to make other people feel important. And you don't make people feel important by putting them down and trying to build yourself up and make yourself look so good and them look so bad. It doesn't work like that. It takes courage to encourage. Some Christians, Roman numeral 1. Some Christians, I'm going to 7. That's all I have tonight, just 7. I know you think it's going to take a long time. It will not. Some Christians freely give of themselves to others. People enjoy being around them because they are always ready to give an encouraging word. Don't you enjoy being around encouraging people? People who give you encouraging words, talk about how beautiful your hair is or what lovely dress you have on or how that tie matches that shirt just fine. You look so sharp. Wow, you even smell good. Don't you like to have people say that about you? I do. That's why I put so much shaving lotion on, just so everybody says, "Well, I smell something in here." It's me. Other folks, though, other Christians consider themselves like self-sufficient island. They remain focused on themselves and their own needs. Be careful about that. Don't be concerned just about your own needs all the time. Consider others. The Father never intended for you or me to live in isolation. The Christian life is one of relationships. Do you understand that? That the Christian life is really one of relationships. It really is. First with God, and then with each other. You see, close friends, by the way, Brian, I don't have this on. I saw you look at me sort of funny back there. Excuse me. Now let's try that. Does that work? Does it work now? Testing, 1, 2, 3. Ah, there we go. Thank you. The Christian life is one of relationships. First with God. And then each other. You see, close friendships are sometimes, and I have to admit, uncomfortable or even inconvenient, perhaps. Sometimes uncomfortable and inconvenient, but they are tremendously important in the kingdom of God. One of the most powerful aspects of living in a community with fellow believers is the context it provides for giving and receiving encouragement. You need to give and receive encouragement. My wife and I were able to go to the funeral home early. Right after the service, we ran down to the funeral home to see the family. And already there were probably 50 to 75 folks there at the funeral already lined up. It took us an hour to get up there to see Steve and Holly. It took us at least that much time to get there. But we wanted to make sure we got there and make sure we saw them. And I'm so glad we did, because I felt like today I was an encouragement to Steve's mother. When she saw me, she gripped my hand. She said, "Pastor, I'm just not sure I understand." And she started to weep. And I said, "Ma'am, is it possible that I could stop right now and have a word of prayer for you right here, even though this line's busy and there's lots of, oh, yeah, please." And we prayed together right there. And, boy, she wept and said, "God, help me to understand what you're doing in my life." And, you know, everybody needs that. You need the community of friends. You need somebody who will care for you, somebody who will love you, somebody who will give you encouragement. We live in a world that is increasingly fragmented. And I think everybody knows this world is fragmented and isolated. Christians need meaningful, uplifting connections one with another more than at any other time in the history of our universe. We need everybody. Amen. Roman numeral number 2. As Christians, we cannot ignore our manifold responsibility to other believers. The Bible gives us specific commands about how we are related to each other and how we relate to each other. Scripture tells us to accept, to comfort others. We are called to admonish others, confess our sins, forgive graciously. The Bible instructs us to live at peace with others. We are to show each other love. We're to be hospitable. We're to be patient. We're to be tenderhearted. God's Word tells us to faithfully pray for each other, that we ought to encourage one another as we motivate each other to do good deeds for our God. That's a relationship type of thing. That's what we ought to be doing, not ignoring each other, but helping each other. Roman numeral number 3, what exactly does encourage mean? What does that mean? What does encourage mean? Well, that word I told you this morning means to call to one side, to help, to console, to strengthen, or to instill courage in another person. The men and the women of the early church were willing. They honestly were. They were willing to encourage each other. And their faithfulness demonstrated the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ in their own generation. And God asked us to do the same thing today. Stand beside, console, give strength, give stability, give joy, give happiness. That's what we're to do as Christian people. We're not to be isolated. We're not to be angry. We're not to have little groups and only those little groups are or who fellowship. No, we're to do that with everybody. Amen. That's what encouragement is all about. It's to come alongside and console, strengthen, instill courage in someone else. Roman numeral 4, I told you to be quick. Needing encouragement is part of being human. Did you know that? You say, "I don't need encouragement." Oh, yes, you do. Honestly, needing encouragement is part of just being human. Jesus provides the most powerful example of that truth. Go with me to Matthew chapter number 26 and verse 38. The night before his crucifixion, you probably remember all this, he said to his disciples. Now, what did he say? He said, "Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." He was fully God at this moment in time, and he was fully man at this moment in time. His human nature longed for the company and the encouragement of his friends as he looked ahead to the cross. As he looked ahead, he said, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful." He knew what was coming. But always said, "Tarry here and watch with me. Be there for me. Be there with me." Roman numeral number 5. The simplest words and actions can have a powerful impact on the life of another. I can still remember
the people who encouraged me as a child growing up. I had a first grade teacher that I will never forget. Now, there's a couple of reasons why I won't forget her, but she was so sweet, but she was so old. And she was so wrinkly. Now, I tell you all that because her name was Mrs. Raisin. Now, you know what a bunch of first grade boys did with that idea. Little old Mrs. Raisin was about this tall and as wrinkly as could be. And we said, she looks like a raisin. That was not nice, was it? But Mrs. Raisin was the sweetest lady in the entire world. I can remember her. I loved her so much. And yet, she was the only one I ever had to give me a spanking. We had thrown a bunch of paper wads at the girls. I mean, we put those pieces of paper in our mouths and we wadded them up and got them all over saliva. That wouldn't go good today, would it? And we took them out and we whipped them at those girls. And it was stuck in the back of their hair and they would scream. Mrs. Raisin had walked down to the office and she said before she left, "Now, boys and girls, you all be very, very good. I'll just be a moment. I must go down to the office." And just a little dinky thing, you know. "And I've got to go down to the office and I'll be right back. You be good. Boys, mind your manners." "We will, Mrs. Raisin." And buddy, as soon as she got out, one of our little buddies watched the door, watched down the hall, and all of us started getting our spit wads ready and throwing those little pieces of paper. And all of a sudden, the little guy said, "Here she comes, here she comes." And everybody, "Hi, Mrs. Raisin." "Well, boys and girls, you look so good. I am so glad you were so..." "Sally, what's in your hair?" The boys were throwing spit wads at us. And all of a sudden, every one of us boys got in trouble. There were 25 in our class, and there's about 13 boys. And she got irate. That little Mrs. Raisin, I mean, she became a grumpy little raisin. Buddy. "All right, that's uncalled for. That's ridiculous. Why did you boys even get up here on your feet? I'm going to give every one of you a swat." That wouldn't happen in this public school today. She lined every single one of us up. Every single one of us. Jimmy, that's me. Don't you dare call me that. "Jimmy, did you throw paper wads?" "Yes, I did." Whap! "Go sit down." That one little whap hurt worse than my dad's belt. Mrs. Raisin was so sweet, but after that incident was all over, one day she was talking to my mother, and she patted me on my head and said, "Jimmy's a mighty fine boy, Mrs. Lewis." And that Mrs. Raisin, I fell in love with Mrs. Raisin. You know why? Because she encouraged me, because she said I was a fine little boy and never told my mama about the spit wads. I think you know what I mean. The simplest words and actions can have a powerful impact on the life of another. I was a teen, and one of my Sunday school teachers went out of his way to talk to me whenever I saw him at church. He was a man of about 40 years of age. He'd always come to me and say, "Young man, how you doing? I believe God's going to use you someday. Just stay true to God." That's what he would say every time I saw him. Every time I saw him, "Stay true to God, son. I think God's going to use you someday." That was such an encouragement to me. He would shake my hand and say, "I think God's going to use you someday, son." I graduated from high school. As soon as I graduated from high school, it came right to me. He said, "I understand you're graduating this Sunday." I said, "Yes, sir, I am." He said, "I have a job for you tomorrow in the factory if you want to go to work. I want to hire you because I think God's going to use you someday." Woo! I mean, before I even graduated, I already had a job. Somebody thought I was good enough to have a job. Somebody said, hey, you're a good young man. I believe God's going to use you someday. Just the simplest little words help so much. If we could just remember that as an adult. I've been so blessed. So many kind words have been said to me. Adults have made impressions on me. I've been blessed with wonderful friends who've walked with me through the darkest hours of my life. Sometimes they knew just exactly what to say. And other times, if your name is Jerry Schoenfeld, you don't know what to say. You're just there. And that's all I needed, was just to have Jerry there. He doesn't know that because I never told him until tonight. But you know, sometimes you don't have to say anything. People say, well, I'd go and be with somebody or stop with them or be them in the hospital, but I don't know what to say. Sometimes you don't have to say anything. Just be there. Just say, hey, you can count on me. Or like Jerry does from time to time, preacher, I'll drive. You want to see somebody? I'll drive. Let me drive. No, Jerry, I'll take my... No, I'll drive. And he does the driving. I've been blessed. You never know the impact your world will have on people by your words. Your words or your company will have a tremendous impact, perhaps, on somebody else's life. Roman numeral 6. The Bible gives us examples of those who encouraged others. I've looked at these things for time and time again just to make sure that I could do it like they did it, like Barnabas. Barnabas, whose name means son of encouragement, knew how to support others. Go with me, if you will, to the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 36 and 37. When he heard that many in the early church were suffering financially, he sold a piece of property and gave the money to the apostles to provide for that need. And Joseph, who by the apostles were surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus. You know, his name was not Barnabas, his name was Joseph. It changed it to Barnabas. Son of encouragement. Having land, sold it and brought the money and laid at the apostles' feet. Later, he was the first believer to trust the apostle, who had truly become a friend of the church instead of its persecutor. Acts chapter 9, verse 19 through 30. Now, there's a lot of verses there. I'm not going to take time to read all of that, but you can take some time and read Acts chapter 9, verses 19 through 30. And you'll see where he believed in the Apostle Paul. He believed that the Apostle had really become a real friend to the church instead of a persecutor. He spoke up for the new convert and urged the rest of the believers to accept Paul as a genuine follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the next is the Apostle Paul. Not only Barnabas, but the Apostle Paul was also an encourager. Even after he was stoned and left for dead at Lystra, he chose to return to that same area and encourage the believers there. Look at Acts chapter 14, 19 through 22. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. He still was encouraging. An unbelievable story. The tone was a common one for Paul. So powerful. Look to Acts chapter 28, verse 20 through 26. when his captors and fellow prisoners were afraid of dying in a terrible storm at sea. Remember that story. He lifted their spirits by telling them that God had promised their survival. Let's read about that, please, just very quickly. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning until evening. And some believed the things that were spoken, and some believed not. And when they had agreed, not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Well, spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto all the people and saying, hear ye, ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. That tone was always in the apostles' emotions. His epistles are full of encouragement. Paul was an encourager. Can I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, are we encouragers? Do we encourage friends? Do we encourage the sinner? This whole day has been given to God for encouragement. God, our great encourager, we learned about this morning. But you and I now need to be encouragers one to another. The Lord also demonstrated a lifestyle of encouragement. Jesus was kind. Now listen to this thought. Jesus Christ himself was kind to people that the rest of society considered unimportant or unclean. Our world has a lot of folks that we consider unimportant and unclean. Jesus was a friend to them, and he encouraged them. He really did. For example, when the blind beggar Bartimaeus, that blind beggar called out to Jesus. Remember that in Mark chapter 10, verse 46 through 48? That blind beggar called out. They came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him, shh, hold your peace. Quit crying like that. Quit talking so loud. The Bible said he cried the more, a great deal. Thou, son of David, have mercy on me. You see, Jesus stopped and took the time to heal that man. When no one else wanted to be around, Jesus stopped. Remember that woman caught in adultery who was going to be stoned to death? Remember that? But Jesus intervened, and he exposed her accuser's hypocrisy. Remember that? Amen. They were accusing her and condemning her. Instead of condemning her to death, to a life of shame, Christ encouraged her to give up her sin. Look at John chapter 8, verse 11. When he said, where art thou, accusers? Because remember what Jesus had done. He wrote in the dirt. And then he said, he that is without sin, you may cast the first stone. And they all left one by one. So Jesus asked, where are your accusers? And she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus saith unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Jesus Christ himself was an encourager to those who were lost and to those who were living in wicked sin. He was a friend. He was an encourager. He wanted to change their life. Roman numeral 7. All of us need encouragement to walk out this faith that we're walking. We all need encouragement to walk out the faith. Godly fellowship is so important. Godly fellowship can help protect us from falling prey to the deceptions of the devil. That's one reason why we tell folks they ought to be at church. As often as the church doors are open, we ought to be there. Because godly fellowship helps us to live godly. Listen, the more church you miss, the more stuff will be tempting to you to do that you should not do. I'm just telling you, that's how it works. If you come to church and you come to church and you come to church and you get involved and you sing the songs and you hold the songbook and you sing the songs and you listen to the preacher and once in a while you walk down and you pray at the altar, I'm telling you there's something that happens to your life and it will keep you from temptations. It will keep you from falling into sin. It will keep your mind clean. It will keep it pure. You'll keep yourself holy. But as soon as you start missing and you start hitting and missing, it won't be long until you get discouraged about this or you get discouraged about that. And on it goes until finally you'll say, I am done with that place. And that's the reason. Godly fellowship can help protect us from falling prey to the deceptions of the devil. When I make a mistake, or when you make a mistake, supportive friends don't condemn us. Instead, they challenge us and help us get back on track. You know, there's not a one of us. If anybody in this room would begin to backslide, we wouldn't want to push them further down, would we? We wouldn't want to take our foot and smash them and push them down. Now, would we want to do that? No, would we want to say, whoa, hold it, don't go there, don't do that. Let's help you up. Now, for years, churches have knocked people down and they pushed them out. That's not what we want to have at Harvest. That's not what we're trying to do. What we're trying to do is help everybody see the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no big I's and little U's here. We're all the same. You know why? Because the ground at the foot of the cross is level. There's no big shots at this place. We're all just people who love the Lord and love each other, and we're trying to get ourselves so settled that we can lead others to Christ. Now, we don't work our way to heaven. We've trusted the Lord Jesus and the shed blood. But the foot of the cross, that ground is level. And there's just no big shots and little shots. We're all just us. And we love everybody. And we want to help everybody. And we want everybody to get back on track. I must be also willing to offer encouragement to the people around us. Whether they make mistakes or not, still encouragement. That requires us to be genuinely concerned about others, rather than about how we might benefit from our relationships. Don't do that. Don't try to benefit from a relationship. Well, I want to know John Pocock because if I get to know John Pocock, maybe he'll put a kitchen in for me someday. Good night. That's not the reason you become a friend. I want to know Nate Griner because he'll take me hunting someday. Nate's a big hunter. You see all those deer he shot? Man, it's on Facebook, I guess it was, and like four of them. And man, it's awesome. You know? But, you know, Frank's a banker, so get to know Frank. Maybe I get a loan there. You know? I don't want his friendship until I can, you know, I need a... Don't do that. We don't work people. That's not what we do. You love everybody because of who Jesus is. That's why. Encouragement is so powerful. Building relationships, benefiting from relationships built. Encouragement is so powerful. Is often the deciding factor in whether someone succeeds or fails in the Christian life, or actually at any other undertaking for that matter. Encouragement. I had a great boss when I was a salesman. I loved being a salesman. But I had a great boss who encouraged me every day I walked in that office. He said, I'm going to give you a new name. I said, really? He said, man, you're such a great young salesman. He said, I'm going to call you Jimmy Jet. You don't call me that. I said, you're going to call... I should never told David that. He said, you're going to be known as Jimmy Jet. So every time I walk in the office, hey, Jimmy Jet, how you doing? I said, doing good. Now listen. God loves you. Be an encouragement. Be an encouragement. We're going to practice that tonight in just a moment. Be an encouragement. Roman numeral 8. Did I say we was going to 7?
Yeah.
I forgot. I have one more. Can't read my own writing. There are many ways to show encouragement. I got to talk about this before we're done. There are many ways to show encouragement. You can call somebody. You can write a letter. You can send a text. You can try asking, how can I pray for you today? Take the initiative to meet a need or give a thoughtful gift. I have so many folks in my church here who do that very thing. I know that they do it because people who give, who get that stuff say to me, did you know so-and-so bless me? And I say, well, don't tell me who. They say, well, I won't. But man, I needed that and God blessed me and they gave me $50 or $100 or they gave me a meal out. I said, oh, that's wonderful. That's great. Folks practice doing that. I know Brother Belcher just told me tonight. He didn't know I was preaching about this, but he told me tonight that Brother Belcher was in what restaurant?
Steak and Shake.
Steak and Shake. He's in Steak and Shake. And he said he was in there, and while he was in Steak and Shake, eating, he and his wife, somebody paid for their meal. And he said, preacher, I don't know who it was. He said, I saw Denny and Sue Miller in there. He said, I thought I'd ask him, did you pay for my meal? Oh, no, we didn't pay for your meal. Right, Denny? Man, not me, buddy. Well, I'm sure he would, though. But he didn't, evidently. And so Brother Belcher said, well, who in the world did that? He never did find out who it was. I remember one time I took a group of our high school kids over to a restaurant in Fremont. And I said, now you kids listen to me. When we walk in this restaurant, you're going to be on your very best behavior. Boys, you are going to pull out the chair for the girl. I ain't dating none of these girls. I said, I didn't say you was dating. I said, you're going to learn how to be a gentleman. I said, now you're going to pull the chair out for the girl, and you're not going to pull it out so she falls. I know you guys, don't do that. No, no, no. I said, when we walk in that restaurant, we'll get our table. There's like 17 of us. And you're going to pull the chair out for the girl. You will take her coat off, wrap it around the chair, have her step in front of the chair, and push the chair just till it reaches her knees. And when she begins to sit down, then you push it a little bit further and seat her really nice. Oh, brother. If I'd known this was going to happen, I wouldn't have come. I said, hush it, hush it. That's what we're doing. And you're going to learn how to do it and do it right and make these girls feel wonderful. Oh, and by the way, when we get ready to go, you're going to pull the chair out, you're going to grab the coat, and you're going to put it on the girl. Preacher, I've never done that in my life. You're going to learn to do it now. That's good stuff. So they did, and we went there. How many of you kids were part of that? Was anybody here? None of you? Oh, we got to practice that today. We'll have to end up doing that someday. Pardon me?
Did it last year?
A couple years ago, I think it was. Maybe 3, I can't remember. Anyway, while we went in there, we ordered, and the kids all said, preacher, are we... I paid for it. They said, are we allowed to get dessert? And I said, well, it's a pretty good-sized bill now, so we'll just probably skip dessert. The waitress heard me talking to the group about that, and she came over, and she said, by the way, preacher, they can all have dessert. I said, they can? She said, yes. She said, there was somebody sitting back in that corner, and they were watching you, and they're going to pay for large sundaes for all 17. They've already paid the money. I said, well, who was that? She said, I really don't know. But they saw what you guys were doing, and they said, isn't that neat? And the husband said, I'm paying for all those kids to have dessert. He didn't tell anybody that. So I told the kids, I said, hey, kids, guess what? I said, because you were so good and everything was so well, fellas, you did a great job. We all get dessert. They go, ah! I said, whoa, 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 we're still in the restaurant. We're still in the restaurant. Don't remember, don't forget. They said, we get dessert? I said, somebody paid for all large Sundays for everybody. Man, this is great. I said, yeah. It's what you get when you do it right.
Amen.
Come on, amen. Be an encouragement to somebody, would you please? It's so important. There are many ways you can be an encouragement. Let's go over those one more time. Write a letter, send a text. How can I pray for you? Take the initiative, meet a need. Give a gift. Sacrifice your time to be with a friend. Weep with those who weep. Express affirmation, agreement. Share scriptures. Speak directly to their situations. You can also encourage others by being a good example to them and giving loving, godly correction. Almost all people will feel lifted up if you just listen. I don't know how many times in counseling sessions somebody comes in my office, whether it's a man or a woman, doesn't matter, but it really happens to women most often. They'll say, preacher, can I talk with you? I say, you certainly can. Have a seat. And I'll sit at my desk, they'll sit across, and I'm telling you, I've told you this tons of times before, but all I've ever said was, mm-hmm. Oh, I see. Oh, that's, yes. Mm-hmm. Really? Oh, mm. Well, we ought to do something about that. Uh-huh. Yeah, really? After about 20 minutes of that, I said, could we have prayer? Yes. Pastor, you always have the right things to say. Every time I come here to talk to you, I never said anything except, mm-hmm. Oh. It's just listening. Sometimes that's all your friend needs, is somebody to listen. Allow your loyalty to show. Let people know that they can count on you and that you love them. Don't be afraid to say, now listen, don't be afraid to say, I love you. I say I love you to everybody. I hope nobody takes that personal, like, I think he was flirting with me. I don't think so. I have a very beautiful wife I'm very happy with. But people need to know you love them. I appreciate what you mean. I appreciate what you do. I love you very much. Thank you. So important. Finally, the easiest way to be an encouragement is simply to smile.
Right.
Just smile. Well, I'm done, but I want to just give you two or three more comments, and then I'll be finally finished. Do you more closely fit the description of someone who is always ready to encourage others, or of someone who is usually closed towards others? Why do you think you have that response to other people? Why are you always closing yourself off rather than opening yourself up? Think about that just a moment. How has the encouragement of your parents or a mentor or a friend been life-changing to you? Life, as you know it, is full of tribulations and heartaches and trouble and trials. And I'm here to report to you that Christians are not exempt from all that. In fact, Paul had predicted that these believers would be persecuted. When people go through tough times, God wants us to come alongside of them to encourage them. Now, I know you've had this, but one of the most frustrating experiences I've ever had in my life is to go out to my car in the wintertime and it will not start. Isn't that disgusting? You turn the key and maybe nothing happens, or maybe just a click, 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 click. You think, where's Dave Dobson when you need him? It's happened to most of us, hasn't it? From time to time. Your battery's dead. And maybe you call a friend or family member and you say, would you come and give me a jump? Yeah, sure, I'll be right over. They drive up, hook up. The red cable with the red cable, the black with the black. They jump start your car. That friend or family member has the energy in their battery, and they're going to share that energy with you so you can get it started. To me, that's what encouragement is. That's encouragement in the raw. It's when you use words like emotional jumper cables to give energy and strength to someone whose battery is dead. That's encouragement. Now, maybe tonight what we ought to do is go before the Lord and ask Him what He would like you to do specifically to encourage someone in your life. Now, as you look around this building tonight, and don't just look for the ones who are the most important, but take a look and have you been praying about your family here? Is there somebody here that you say, you know, preacher, I think I just need to go and give a word of encouragement to them? Maybe it's a school teacher. Maybe it's a choir member. Maybe it's a choir leader. Maybe it's an administrator of the school. Maybe it's an assistant pastor. Maybe it's a radio man. Maybe it's just another member. Maybe it's a musician. I don't know. But we talk about all these things, but we never have any time to do anything about it. Let's take some time tonight to do something about it. First of all, I'm going to ask you to come, if you will. You who just say, you know, preacher, I need to change my life. Well, you're right. I know you are. The scripture's right. I just need to be an encouragement to somebody. I'm going to ask God to help me to be an encouragement to somebody. Musicians, if you'll come quickly. Let's just for a moment stop to think who in our church right here maybe needs a little encouragement. And then think about somebody else who might need encouragement that maybe when you go home you could sit down and call. And just give a word of encouragement. Say, listen, I heard a message tonight that stirred my heart, and I just want to be an encouragement to you. Now, don't wait for somebody to be an encouragement to you. You be an encouragement to somebody. Let's pray. Father, we love you. As we sit together as a church family, it's only a little after 7 o'clock. Lord, now we have plenty of time to operate what you've taught us. From time to time, we just need to settle in and be an encouragement to somebody. Take a little time to do that.